We'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Tes Zayin. We're going to begin on the bottom line of Tes. Vav Amud Beis. So remember again, so the Gemara is still going through the different psukim in the Megillah. So last line, the Megillah says, Vayimatzei Kosov. Remember, again, this is talking about the night that Ahasuerus was unable to sleep. And he's going through the Sefer HaZichronos, he's going through his Book of Remembrance. And he finds that in the Book of Remembrance, it's discussed what Mordechai did for Ahasuerus. And he finds that he was not properly rewarded for that incredible act of chesed towards the king. So Gemara says, again, grammatically, it should have been written. He found that it was written. Kosuv almost means writing in present tense. So the Gemara says, Malameid, so the top of Tezayin, Malameid Shishimshi Mochek, the Gavriel Kosev. It teaches us that Shimshi, was the sofer of the king. Rashi points out over here, Soni Yisrael Haya, and the truth is he was not a big fan of the Jewish people, and as such he was trying to erase that which Mordechai had done for the king, and Gavriel the Malach, every single time that Shimshi tried to erase it, so again the Malach Gavriel would go ahead and write it again. Amr Abasi, Tara Shabshila Ish Kfar Tamrasa, Umak Sav Shalamata, Shalazuchusan Shleisa Inonimchak, Ksav Shalamala Lokoshkin, so we'll say Rav Shila, dash in the following idea. You can imagine if something positive that is written about the Jewish people here in this world cannot be erased, all the more so when God inscribes something positive about us in the upper spheres, all the more so it cannot be erased. Lo Naase Imo Dover. So remember again, then the king asks, Shimshi, so new, what did we do for Mordechai? And Shimshi responds, we didn't do anything for him. Amarava lo mipnei sho'avin es Mordechai. Now, interestingly enough, don't think for a moment that Shimshi suddenly became a great fan of Mordechai. Ella mipnei shesonin es Haman. But rather, as we saw already yesterday, that there was a whole group of people who really turned against Haman. Remember, this is, how does it go? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Right? So the idea is that, again, they hate Mordechai also. But the truth is, they're beginning to hate Haman even more because of the way that Haman is conducting himself. So what happens? Hechinlo. So again, so this is quoting from the pasuk. Bayar Melech mi bachatzer. Remember again, as this is happening, so the king hears commotion outside in the courtyard, and he asks what's going on, and they say to the king that Haman is preparing a tree upon which to go ahead. Litlos es Mordechai ala eitz asher hechinlo. He's preparing the tree to go ahead and hung Mordechai on the tree that he prepared for him. So the Gemara says a little bit of metaphorical significance. Hechin lo, tana lo hechin. Hechin lo means he prepared for him, but in reality it turned out that he prepared the very tree that he was to be hanged on for himself. Va'asakin lo Mordechai. So remember again, fast forwarding a little bit, so the king summons Haman and says, "Nu, what should we do for the man? Asha amelech hafetz bikaro." And Haman goes in and tells the whole thing. He should wear the king's clothing, ride on the king's horse. So a king tells Haman, perfect, everything you said, do va'asakin leMordechai and do it for Mordechai the Jew. Amar lei manu Mordechai. So interesting. So when Achashverosh says this to Haman, so he says to Haman. So Haman says, "Nu, which Mordechai are you referring to?" Amar lei, because again, Haman obviously knows who he's referring to, but he's playing dumb a little bit. Amar lei haYehudi, Mordechai the Jew. Amar lei Tuba Mordechai. It's like going to Williamsburg and asking for Yoel. You know, of course there's, so I'd go to Crown Heights, that's from Menachem Mendel. So you were looking for a Mordechai, you're looking for a Mordechai in Shushan. There are plenty of Mordechais. I'm sorry? Right. Good. You're agreeing. Oh, good. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem, good. All right. Whew, I was nervous. Okay, good. Public opinion is on my side. Good. So says the Gemara following. So Amarle, Tuba Mordechai Ikav Yehudai. Amarle, Hayoshe B'Shah Melech. No, I'm talking about the Mordechai who sits by the gate of the king. So that there weren't too many people who were spending their days by the gate of the king. Amarle, Sagile B'chad Diskarta Inami B'chad Nara. To which Haman says, you know what? Why couldn't you just give him one village or one river from which he could have collected tax revenue? Amarle, Hanami Havle. Achashverosh says, again, you know what? Great idea. Give that to him also. And I will say, this is the same thing. To be clear, remember, going with the theme that's developing is, it's not the pshat that Achashverosh suddenly became a great fan of Mordechai either. It's that, remember, you saw in your homework last night, what Achashverosh is nervous about is perhaps, again, he's trying to solidify his allies. So remember, again, he's trying to make sure that whoever did something good for him, he reciprocated. And also, remember, Achashverosh himself is growing tired of Haman's newfound almost ego. Thank you. So therefore, again, this is always to be clear, you know, it's always very important. Unfortunately, we always, as a people, are always careful when we even with our allies. We unfortunately, as a people, we watch our back from everyone, because even those people who pledge their allegiance to us, we always wonder what's their motivation in it. What's in it for them? So here again, also don't get the idea that Achashverosh is suddenly a big fan of Mordechai, but he's just very dissatisfied with Haman. Al tap el davar mikol shedibarta. Don't leave off anything that you mentioned. Listen to this. So Haman, of course, takes the king's clothing, takes the king's horse, and he sets out to go ahead and find Mordechai. So what happens? So Haman goes and he finds Mordechai, and Mordechai is teaching the rabbinical students the laws of Kemitzah. So the laws of Kemitzah, we know, again, have to do with the Karban Mincha. So again, remember, the laws of Kemitzah is a meal offering where the coin goes there. We actually learned this in our Yuma days. The coin goes with his three middle fingers, scoops up a handful of flour. Now, why is he doing Hilchos Kemitzah now? So Rashi points out over here, Dorish Ben Yono Shoyom, Vishisha Asa Benisan Haya Es Yom Tinufa Somer. Because remember, again, this was occurring, this event was occurring on the 16th of Nisan, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, and therefore, again, when the Omer was offered, and that would have been a time in which, again, the carbon Omer, the barley offering would have been done, and the coin, again, did Kemitzah, took a fistful, it's not a full fistful, three fingers full of the flour of the barley offering. So Mordechai is teaching his students the laws of Kemitzah. So what happens? So what happened? When Mordechai sees Haman approaching him, and he sees that Haman has the king's horse in tow, so what happens? Mirsas, he became very frightened. Amrulu Rabban, he said to the other rabbis who were there, Hai Risha Lemiktal Nafshi Kasi, there's no question in my mind that Haman is coming to kill me. Zilu Mikame, run away now. Dilo Techavu Begachaloso, in order that what? That you not get burned by his fire. So go ahead and get away. You have time to escape now. Run away. Mordechai wrapped himself in his cloak and he began to daven, thinking that, of course, this is going to be the last prayer that he was ever going to utter. Haman came. V'yasiv lekamayhu. So what happens? So Haman, of course, again, has no choice but to wait until Mordechai finishes davening. So as he's waiting for Mordechai, he says, apparently, interestingly enough, the other Rabbanim did not run away. They're waiting there by Mordechai. So Haman strikes up a conversation. He says to them, "But my askisu, tell me, what were you learning?" Amrulei, they said to Haman, Bizman Shaves Amikdash Kayim, Man de Menadev Mincha, Maisi Malaikum Se de Sulsa. And they told him 10 times in the temple, if someone pledged a meal offering, a mincha, so again, the Kohen would offer the three fingerfuls of flour on the Mizbeach. And actually, remember, what happens to the rest of the mincha? It's consumed by the Kohen. Umiskaper, and this would provide atonement. Armelohu, so Haman responded, this is so profound. Asi mali kumse kimcha didachu, your fistful of flour preceded the dachi asara alfi kikari kaspa didi, your little fistful of flour preceded and essentially negated the effect of the thousands of silver shkalim of mine. So what he's essentially commanding is the little bit of flour that you take in your hands, that almost like upended, that undermined the effectiveness of the thousands of silver pieces that I handed over to Achashverosh. So meaning what's happening over here is Haman begins to see already now the writing on the wall that this is not going to work. The whole plan is quickly unraveling and he realizes what's going to happen. So what happens? So now Mordechai finished. And he hears this conversation. Amrli Rasha. He said, he calls Haman a Rasha. He says, Rasha, Eved Shekana Nechasim, Eved Lemi Unechasim Lemi. What do you mean the silver pieces that you gave over to Achashverosh, making a sign that the silver is yours? A servant a servant who acquires property, who does the servant belong to? Who does the money belong to, the property belong to? Remember, this goes back to yesterday's daf, where, again, Mordechai quickly reminded Haman, just remember, you're my indentured servant. You sold yourself to me for loaves of bread. So don't present this image that you are this strong, mighty, wealthy, independent individual. Everything you are and everything you own is my property. So what happened? Amarle, kum levush hanimani. Viruch virachov hai susei. The Bailach Malka, someone says, Mordechai, okay, get up, right, put on the king's clothing, ride on the horse, because that's what the king wants. Amarle, so Mordechai says, lo yachilna, I can't, ad da'ilina lebeibani, ve'eshkelamazye, I can't, I have to first go to the bathhouse, and I need to get a haircut, delav orach ara lishtamushe b'mani demalka hachi, because again, it's not appropriate. Remember, Mordechai had been fasting. He'd been fasting, and even before the fast, he'd been in a state of mourning. He says, listen, if I'm going to wear the king's clothing, it's not right, I have to go to the bathhouse, and I have to go ahead and get a haircut. So listen to this. Shadra Esther, the Asterinhu Lakula Bebani, Ulakulu Umni. So what happened? Esther suddenly declared a legal holiday, and she closed down all of the bathhouses and all of the barbershops. Aili Ihu Lebebani. So now again, they went into the bathhouse. The Asche, and what happened? And Haman had to bathe Mordechai. Haman had to bathe Mordechai. There were no bathhouse attendants there. When it says bathe him, it means that literally when you went to the bathhouse, there were attendants who were there. So because, again, it was a legal holiday, so only the attendants were not there, Haman had to take care of all of the needs of Mordechai. Furthermore, and Haman went home and he got a pair of scissors from his house, because again, the barbers were closed also. See, and I had to give Mordechai a haircut. And he gave him a haircut. As Haman is giving Mordechai a haircut, he groaned and he sighed. Amarle, Amai kamisnachas. So Mordechai says to Haman, what's wrong? Wait, can you imagine this? By the way, what's on your mind? Right? What's bothering you? Amarle, Gavra tahavachashele lamalka mikulu rav revuni. Hashta l'shavye balani v'saper. A minister, a person who was so important for the king, more important than all of the ministers, suddenly now is what? Is a barber and a bathhouse attendant, or I should say a bathhouse attendant and a barber. Amarle, Rasha. So Mordechai said to him, you Rasha, v'lav saper shel kvar Kartsum Hayisa. Do you not remember? Were you not the barber of the village of Kartsum? That's how you got to your beginning. You're not nobility. You're not royalty. You're not chashiv. You're a barber. So, I mean, again, barbers are important also. But he's saying, like, don't get so high on yourself that you think that this is beneath you. This is what you did. Tana, because then again, the Gemara relates, Haman Saper Shel Kfar Kartsum Haya Estrim Ushtaim Shana. Haman was the barber of the village of Kartsum for 22 years. Okay. Basar de Shaklun Lamazie. So now, again, after Haman bathed Mordechai and after he gave him a haircut, what happened? Lav Shinhu Lama'ane. He clothed him in the king's clothing. Amarle Sak Varachav. So Haman says to Mordechai, all right, get on the horse. Amarle, I'd love to. Mordechai says, I'd love to. Lo Yachilna. I can't really mount the horse. Because ultimately I've been weakened from all of my days of fasting. So many, if you wouldn't mind, bend over and I could step on you to get on the horse. Haman has no choice. Gachin v'solik. So he bent over. He literally lowered himself and he bent over to serve as a step for Mordechai. Ki solik, as Mordechai was stepping on him, ba'it pe. He kicked him. He kicked Haman. Amar lei. So Haman was a little bit taken aback. Lok siv luchu. Is it not written in your scriptures that when your enemy falls, you should not rejoice? Meaning Haman says, okay, I know I'm your enemy. I know that I've fallen, but I'm down. So don't you have a concept that you don't kick your enemy when you're down? Mordechai says, actually not. Amarle, hani mili bi Yisrael. That refers to your adversary who's a fellow Jew. Ava bedidachu, but with people like you, ksiv, va'ata abamosemu tijroch. Actually, about people like you, it says, and you shall trample on their high places. That when your Gentile enemy falls, you absolutely should make sure that they remain down. Vayikra the fun of. So again, remember, now Mordechai is finally on the horse. Mordechai's on the horse. Haman's leading him through the streets. And remember, he was out. He was commanded to call out. So shall you do to the man whom the king desires to show favor. So again, so this Haman is announcing this. So remember now, again, they're walking by the little alleyways of Haman's home, where Haman lived. So Haman's daughter is standing on the rooftop of the house, and she sees this procession. Savra, so she figured the guy on the horse was her father, and the guy leading the horse was Mordechai. So what does she do? Shakla atzitza debe sakise. She went ahead and she took again the bedpan. Vishadise aresha da'avua. And she threw it on the head of the man who was leading the horse, who she thought was Mordechai, but in fact was her father. Dole Eine, after again receiving this package from above, so again Haman lifts his eyes. V'chaza da'avuahu. And Nebuch, she saw that she had just done something terrible to her father. Nafla me'igra la'ara. She literally fell off the roof to the ground. Umesa, and she died. Now, whether that means that she fell off the roof because of such shock, or she took her own life because she cannot believe what she did to her father. Either way, again, she fell off the roof and died. Vahinu dechsiv, and this is the meaning of the pasuk when it says, Vayashav Mordechai al shar ha'melech. Mordechai went ahead, and after this whole procession, Mordechai returned back to the gate of the king. Amrav Sheshes Sheshav Lisako Ulatani. So he went back to wearing his sackcloth and fasting. Vahaman Nitchav El Beiso. Haman went back to his home, or literally went back to his home quickly. Avel uvechafui rosh. He was in mourning, and again, literally chafui rosh means and in a messy state on his head. So avel albito, he went back mourning for his daughter. Vechafui rosh literally actually means covered on his head. Chafui rosh asheiralo, and again covered on his head. Ultimately, again from what was emptied on him from the rooftops above. Vaisaper Haman lezeresh ishto lechol ohavav. So Haman told all that had happened to Zeresh, his wife, and to all Chol Ahavav, to all those who loved him. So the Gemara points out, Karluhu Ohavav, Vekarluhu Chachamav. So again, interesting enough, the Megillah uses two different words for those who were giving advice to Haman. Sometimes it calls them his loved ones, and sometimes it calls them his wise ones. Because again, they were his relatives, but because they said wise things, they were also called what? Chachamim. And what do they tell him? It's interesting. They say to Haman that if this Mordechai is from the Zera of Yehudim, from the offspring of the Jews, then you will never be able to overcome him. Amrulay, they said to him, Haman, the following. If he comes from the other tribes, you could potentially overcome him. However, I mishevet Yehuda, Binyamin, Ephraim, Umenashe, lo yachlisle. If he comes from the tribes of Yehuda, Binyamin, Ephraim, and Menashe, there is no way you will be able to overcome him. How do we know this? Yehuda, by the tribe of Yehuda, dechsev, yadcha ba'aref ayvecha. Because by Yehuda it says what? That again, your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Enoch dechsevu, the other tribes it says, lefnei Ephraim, u'binyamin, u'menashe, Orura eskvura secha. Literally, by Ephraim, Binyamin, and Menashe, it says, literally, awaken your strength. Kinap, so the idea, and obviously, again, we saw machlokas as to what tribe Mordechai himself is from. Is he from Yehuda? Is he from Binyamin? For our purposes, he's from one of them. So the point is, that's surely spelled doom for Haman. Kinafal tipol lefanav, you will surely fall before him. Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, shtei nefilos halalu lama. Why does it have to say nafal tipol? Why double lashon? Amar lo, uma zu meshula la'afar meshula kocham. Listen to this. The nation, the Jewish people, we are compared to the dust and we're compared to the stars. B'shash kishen yardin, when we descend, meaning when we fall, yardin ad afar. Well, so you know, when we fall as a people, we go to the lowest of low, right? Essentially, what the Gemara is saying is, we really are like, we're a people of extremes. We live in a world of extremes. We're not really like Parith, right? So when we fall, meaning when we have a terrible fall, so we're as low as the dirt. But when we ascend, Olin Adla Kochavim, we ascend to the stars. Visarisi Amelach Egiu. So again, essentially they tell Haman is pretty much you're done. Pretty much you're done. Already, again, if this Mordechai is from the Shvatim, which he is, there's no way you'll ever be able to overtake him. I mean, clearly the Jewish destiny is on the rise. You'll never be able to overcome them. Visarisi Amelach Egiu Vavhilu. So what happens again is that as Haman is getting this report, this disastrous report from his loved ones, from his wise people, so the officers of the king come. Vayafilu. Vayafilu literally means they rushed him in, because now it was time for him to what? It was time for him to go to the party of Esther Hamalka. So Melamed Sheviu Babahala. This teaches us that they brought him in a great rush. They brought them in a great rush. So remember again, now they're at the party. This is the party number two. So what happens? Esther says, Kinim karnu aniva ami, kenatsar shova beneza kamelech. So what happens? So Esther Malka says to Achash, she finally spills the details and she says, me and my nation have been sold for slaughter. Because again, if we were just going to be sold to be servants, to be slaves, I wouldn't say anything. Kenatsar shova beneza kamelech. Literally, because again, our suffering is not really worth anything. Anything to the king. Amrlo tsar ze eino shova beneza kamelech. Right? What she says about Haman, this enemy of yours, he does not care about anything that happens to the king. Ikni ba ubevashti vekatla hashta ikni bididi umebay lemiktali. This Haman, you know, and remember now the whole story comes full circle. Esther says to Achashverosh, you know, who was the one who gave you the advice to go out and kill Vashti? That was Haman. Haman got jealous of Vashti because he felt that Vashti had too much power, so he told you, he advised you to kill Vashti, and now what? And now he's jealous of my newfound prominence in the kingdom, and he's advising you to what? He's advising you to kill me as well. So hashta ikni bididim vayli miktali. Vayomer melech Achashverosh, vayomer le'Esther Malka. So the king Achashverosh said, and he said to Esther Malka, vayomer vayomer lameli. Why does it say vayomer twice? Amra b'yavo, b'tchila aydi turgaman. Interesting, Rabbi Avos says, in the beginning, whenever Achashverosh spoke to Esther, he always spoke to her through an interpreter, through an intermediary, because again, it was all, he could understand as much as she was the queen. People assume that she was from very unroyal beginnings, that she was from very simple beginnings, and therefore it almost didn't befit the king to talk to her directly. So he talked to her through a Torgamon. However, once she revealed her identity, however, once she said, Kevan de Amrle de Mibe Shal Kasina, once she told him that she was a descendant of Shaul, then what? Then Vayomer l'Esther Malka. Then he spoke to her directly. Vatomer Esther, Ish Tsarva Oyev Haman Hara Hazeh. So remember again, Esther says to Achashverosh, a man, an enemy, a terrible individual, Haman Hara Hazeh, he's the one who wants to destroy me and my people. Amr Belazar Melame, Shaisim Mechavik Klapi Achashverosh, Obama Lach Vesata Yad Klapi Haman. This is amazing. So the Gemara says, Ish Sarva Oyev, originally the Gemara says that Esther wanted to point in the direction of Achashverosh to tell him that he was a Rasha. Thank God she had a little divine providence. The Malach simply shifted her finger a little bit and ultimately again pointed it towards Haman. When she realized the angelic assistance that she was receiving, she added in that she was actually talking about Haman. V'amelech kamach hamaso. The king got up in his anger. V'amelech shav meginas habitan. Remember, the king walks outside and then he returns back from his time in the palace gardens. So makish shiva lekima. It goes ahead and equates his return to his original getting up. Makima bechema. Just like when he got up, he was angry. I mean, when he heard the news that Haman was trying to destroy the people of Esther, af shiva bechema. So too, when he came back from the garden, he was angry as well. Why was he angry when he came back from the garden? The azov ashkach malachi ashar simul gavri. He went out to the garden, and what did he see? He saw angels who were disguised as men, who looked like men. V'ka'akri li'ilani debustani. And what were they doing? They were uprooting the trees in the monarchical garden. V'amrlu, he said to these men, my uvdaich, what are you doing? Amrle depakdinan Haman. Haman told us to uproot the trees. So this was another patch from Achashverosh. That now you're doing landscaping? Right now you're taking control of my gardens. Now you come into my home and you're ordering your men to uproot trees. So this was like the nail in the coffin for Haman. Asulabe says, and actually this is the nail in the coffin. He comes back into the house and what happened? Back into the palace and he says, well, Haman nofel alamita. Haman fell on the bed. And literally, remember again, they reclined on couches. So Haman fell on the bed on which Esther Malka was on. Nofel, why does it say Nofel falling? not falling by. I should have said he fell. A malach came and pushed Haman on top of Esther. Amar, vai mi beisa, vai mi bro. Woe to me what's happening in my house, woe to me what's happening outside my house. Obviously, again, when he saw that Haman was on top of Esther, it looked like, again, that Haman was trying to violate the queen. Amar, avayon ha-melech, hagam lichbosh es ha-malkai mi babayis. Are you trying literally to capture the queen, and I am right here in the palace? So Nebuch, again, Haman, not Nebuch, but Haman realizes, Nebuch for Haman, good for us, right? Haman realizes that, oh my gosh, there is absolutely no way to dig myself out of this one. Vayomer Charvona. So what happens? Charvona comes along. And I remember again, what does Charvona say? Charvona comes along and says that now, by the way, that tree that he prepared in the courtyard, that's for Mordechai. And remember, Mordechai is your ally, because Mordechai is the one who foiled the plan of Bigson and Seresh. So the Gemara again says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Vayomer Charvona, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Af Charvona Rasha. Right, even Charvona was a Rosh, but also Itzaya. Charvona was originally an ally of Haman. So why does he turn? Kivan Sherash Laneskaima Itzaso Miad Barach. Again, the common theme you see over here is, remember, don't think that Charvona is a big friend of the Jewish people and Charvona is a big ally of Mordechai. Charvona was also in on it with Haman to destroy the Jewish people. But now what does he realize? He realized that what? Again, at the end of the day, now again, Haman is done. Everybody likes to play for the winning team. So he switched sides. This is the meaning of the pasuk. He quotes over here the pasuk from Iyov. Vayashli chalav v'lo yachmom yodo baruach yivrach. Ultimately, again, when you see that which you cast yourself upon does not work, run away. The chamas hamelech shachacha. The anger of the king subsided after he hanged Haman. So what happens? Shtei shechichos halalu lama. Now the word shachacha actually is plural. Two shechichos, two subsidings. So what are the two angers that subsided? Achos shal malko shal olam, va'achos shal achashverosh. One was the anger of God, one was the anger of achashverosh. Amrile, others say, achos shal Esther, one was the anger of Esther, va'achos shal Vashti. That Vashti, what happened to Vashti was also ultimately again corrected, because now Vashti, so to speak, was avenged as well. Lukulam nasan ish khalifos smalos, ulubinyama nasan chamesh khalifos smalos. And now we're going a little bit out of, this is not a tangent, it's actually all part of the same discussion, still on Mordechai. Remember, this is about Yosef. So remember again, after Yosef is reunited with his brothers, he gives them each gifts. So the Gittorah relates that he gave them each a change of clothing. But to Binyamin, he gave five changes of clothing. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Evshar davershin itzta'er bo oso tzadik. Yikashal bo amadeis. So the Gemara asks, the very thing that Yosef suffered as a result of, he's now going to repeat that same exact behavior. Now, what does that mean? Amar Rava bar Mechasya, Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya, Amar Rav. Because Rava bar Mechasya said the name of Rav Chama bar Gurya, the name of Rav. B'shil Mishkal Shnei Sala Milas, Shehosif Yaakov Li Yosef, Mishar Echav, Niskal Gal Hadavar, Yadav Zinul Mitzrayim. Because of literally the two slum, the two extra slum, the two extra coins that Yaakov Avinu spent on Yosef's cloak, his Ksonas Apasim, more than the brothers, it created such a cycle of animosity that ultimately resulted in the sale of Yosef. So essentially, the Gemara is asking over here is, because Yaakov favored Yosef, the matter escalated and the brothers sold Yosef into servitude. Why would Yosef repeat that same exact behavior with Binyamin? Why would he make Binyamin the object of his own favoritism and run the risk of what? Escalating brotherly tensions to the point that God forbid something could happen with Binyamin. To which the Gemara answers, Amra Binyamin bar Yefes, Remez Ramazlo. Because the five articles of clothing were actually symbolic. What were they symbolic of? She'asid ben latzeis mimenu, she'yetim lefnei melech b'chamisha levushei malchus. It was symbolized that Binyamin will have a descendant who will go out from before the king with five different articles of clothing. Shene emar, or Mordechai Yotza, again quoting over here from the Megillah, Mordechai Yotza, b'levush malchus, he went out with monarchical clothing, tcheles, chur, ateres, zahav, gidola, tachrich butz va'argamon. So he went out with his clothing made up of these five different materials. So therefore, again, Yosef gives Binyamin the five articles of clothing as a future allusion of it, that he's going to have a descendant who's going to go out with five articles of clothing. So we'll say the Marsha asks on this, but you didn't answer the question. At the end of the day, he still gave Binyamin five times as much, to which the Marsha gives a very interesting answer, that again, the five articles of clothing that Yosef gave to Binyamin were the value was the same as the one article of the one change of clothing that he gave to the brothers. So the fact that he gave them all the same value, but he gave the brothers one and more, and Binyamin five, the brothers realized that the five articles of Binyamin had a symbolic value. So there, again, there was no animosity because the monetary value was the same, but the symbolic value was different. But again, now as you start talking about more Binyamin and Yosef, so Vayipa Asavari Binyamin Achiv. So remember, again, this is when the brothers first encounter one another. So what happens? So the Torah says that Yosef fell literally on the necks, plural, of Binyamin, his brother. So the Gemara says, "Kama tzavar and hayu lo Binyamin?" How many necks did Binyamin have that you have to phrase it in the plural? Amar Rabbi Elazar, "Bacha al shnei mikdoshin sha'asidin lios bechelko shal Binyamin." That neck over here is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash. That just as the neck, so to speak, is the tower of the body, so too, again, the Beis Hamikdash is the tower of the Jewish people. He cried over the two necks. He cried over the two temples that would stand in the tribal territory of Binyamin. I will say, we know, again, in fact, the Beis Hamikdash actually straddled the tribal territory of Yehuda and Binyamin, but nevertheless, again, the majority of it was in the section and the Kodesh HaKadosh from the Holy of Holies in the tribe area of Binyamin as well. Ubinyamin bachat savarav, and Binyamin cried on the neck of Yosef. What did Binyamin cry about? Bacha amishkan shilo sha'asid lios pechelko shal Yosef va'asid licharif. He cried over the mishkan that would be in the tribal area of Yosef and would ultimately be destroyed. V'hine einechem rose ve'ene achi Binyamin. So remember again, this is a little bit later on. This is a little bit later on in the parasha where again Yosef says to his brothers, he tries to go in and remind that he's not going to take revenge. So he tells the brothers, your eyes see, and your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Binyamin. What does that mean? Why does he say your eyes and the eyes of the brother Binyamin? The same way that I have no animosity on Binyamin, he was not involved in my sale. The same way I harbor no animosity towards Binyamin, I harbor no animosity towards the rest of you as well. Because my mouth is speaking to you. We'll say a very profound idea. My mouth represents what is really in my heart. You know, sometimes the greatest difficulty we have in interpersonal relationships is wondering if what a person tells us is really what they feel. So ultimately, Yosef tells his brothers, I assure you that what I say to you, these brotherly overtures that I'm making to you, that I feel the same way in my heart as well. Ula aviv shalach kazos. Remember again, Yosef sends a special gift to his father. Asara chamar nosim to Mitzrayim. 10 donkeys laden with the best of Egypt. What is the best of Egypt? He sent him old wine, aged wine, that old people like aged wine. I think young people like aged wine also. But again, especially old people, I guess, have a special feeling of Yishev Adas from it. His brothers came and they fell before him. I will say this is fast forwarding a little bit later in the parasha. This is after the death of Yaakov Avinu. The brothers now are nervous that now that Yaakov is dead, perhaps again Yosef is now going to take revenge against them. So they prostrate themselves before him. Amar Rabbi Yom Bar Yarfis, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Hanu Darmi Inshi. This is what people mean when they say Ta'alo Be'idne Sagidle. When a fox has his moment, give him respect. Now, I will say, what that phrase normally means is the fox is considered to be of the lower tier of animals. See, even when the fox has his moment, give him respect. So the Gemara says, Ta'ala, my bitzirase me'ach me'achua. Why are you calling Yosef a fox when compared to his brothers? I mean, you make it sound like Yosef is inferior to his brothers, but even though he's inferior, because he's having his moment, you should give him covet. But why is Yosef any inferior to his brothers? Ella I itmar haki itmar. Brother, this is what you have to say. Vayishtachu Yisrael Rosh Hamita, that when Yosef came to visit his father Yaakov, Yaakov prostrated himself on the head of the bed. Now again, the notion that Yaakov is prostrating himself to his son Yosef is quite dramatic. Amr Rabbi Yom Bar Yefes, Amr Rabbi Lazar, Tala be'idnei sagidle. Because this is what people say when they mean, when the fox has his moment, give him honor. Even though Yosef was not as great as his father Yaakov, Yaakov realized that again, Yosef had risen to a new level of prominence, and therefore he was obligated to give his son covet as well. Vayinachim osam vayidaber alibam. Remember again, Yosef consoles his brothers. Is after the death of Yaakov, and he speaks to their heart. Right, he said to them words that literally were accepted into their heart. What did he say to them? If 10 candles were unable to extinguish one, so could it be that one candle will extinguish 10? In other words, what Yosef said to them is, all of you ganged up on me to try to extinguish me, and it didn't work. Do you think then that I have the ability to extinguish all of you? And they were makabel that. Remember the Megillah says the Jews had light, had simcha is happiness, sason is joy, yikar is honor. Amrab Yehuda, ora zu Torah. What does it mean they had light? It means they had Torah. But so what this means is that they re-energized their commitment to Torah. V'cheinu omer kinir ner mitzvah v'torah ar. That literally, the light of the mitzvah and the light of the Torah. Excuse me, I should say that the candle of the mitzvah and the light of the Torah. Simcha, what is simcha? Zu yamtiv. That they may put him into a yamtiv. V'cheinu omer v'samachta v'chagecha. Sason, what does sason mean? Zo Mila. This refers to Bris Mila. So apparently, again, the Medrash discusses this as well, that at some point in time, Achashverosh himself tried to outlaw circumcision. V'cheinu Omer. So it says, Sas Anuchi Alim Rasecha, V'yikar, what is honor? Elu Tfilin. This refers to Tfilin. V'cheinu Omer. So it says, V'ra'u Kal Ame Aretz Kishem HaShem Ekra Alecha, V'yir Mimecha. The nations of the world will see that nearly the name of God is called upon you, and they will fear you. That Tanya Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer HaGadol says, Elu Tfilin Sheberosh. What does it mean when the nations of the world will see that the name of God is called upon you? That refers to Tfilin Sheberosh, like we wear like a crown. So the Gemara goes on. Ve'es parshandasa aseres b'nei Haman. So remember again, then we read again all of the names of Haman's 10 sons who were hanged together. Amar of Adda de Minyafo, aseres b'nei Haman ve'aseres tzorch l'memrinu b'neshima achas. Rabbi said, you have to read the 10 names of the sons of Haman and the word aseres that appears after the 10 names all in one breath. My time, what's the reason? Kulu bahadi hadadi nafku nishmasayu. Because they all died at once. They were all hanged together, and therefore they all died at once. Amrab Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Vav divizasa, divizaisa, vaizasa, thank you. Vav divayizasa, tsarech lemimsicha bizikifa, kimoradya delivros. So the Vav Rabbi says, vaizasa, you have to elongate. You have to elongate that Vav. Literally, Kimoradio Deliveros means like the poles of the boatmen who navigate Deliveros River. So again, I guess like they have like those long poles that they would go ahead and use to navigate the boat. So you have to elongate the Vav of Ayizasa. My timer, what's the reason? Kulu Bechad Zekifa as the kifu, because again, all of Haman's sons were hanged on the same pole. So that Vav Avayizasa is supposed to represent, again, they're supposed to be like the long pole upon which all of them were hanged. Amr Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Dar Shab Shila Ish Kfar Tamrasa. So Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Dar Shinema of Shila Ish Kfar Tamrasa, Kol Ashiros Kula Nichtavos Ariach Agabi Levena, Ulevena Agabi Ariach. Rabbi say, all Shiros are written, literally, Ariach literally means a half a brick on top of a whole brick. Ulevina agabe b'riach, and a whole brick on top of a half brick. Now look at Rashi for just a moment over here. So Rashi says like this, it's on the right-hand side of Rashi. Ariach huaksav. So we'll say this lashon of Ariach of a half a brick means the text. Levena, which means the whole brick, which also means, by the way, the white part, refers to chelek, hu chalak, is the empty spot. Shu kiflai min aksav ariach hatzilem. So we'll say, for example, if you look at the Shira of Az Yashir, the way it's written in the Torah, so there you have it is, you have half a line of text, and beneath it is what? Is empty space. And on either side of it is also empty space. So that's normally how shiros are written. And again, other shiros are written this way as well. However, again, the Gemara says, chutz mishirazu, with the exception of this shira. Now, I will say, when he says this shira, what he's actually referring to is the way that the names of the sons of Haman are written. Because if you notice in the Megillah, how they're written in the Megillah, there are two columns with an empty space in the middle, Umalchei Kanan. And interestingly enough, the other shira that's written like this also is the shira of Malchei Kanan, which refers to the shira, we don't really read it as a shira, it's in Sefer Shoftim, and it speaks about, again, all of the Canaanite kings that Yehoshua conquered. So we'll say, you know, we don't normally have this because we don't really read it from, we don't read this even from a cloth. But if you ever see the way it's written in a cloth, is the Canaanite kings are written in one column on top of the other with empty space in the middle. Sha'ariach agabi ariach, ulaveina agabi laveina. Literally, it's the half brick on top of the half brick, which means it's the text on top of text, and it's empty space on top of empty space. My timer, what's the reason? Shalotehe tekuma lemapalasan, that they should have no ability to lift themselves up from the floor. So in other words, that if you think about this, the way that the shira is laid out, so you have the text, but empty space. But the truth is, on the line below each line of text, you have two other pieces of text. So to speak, you can say that the top, the line of text on top is supported by the two bottom ones. As opposed to, again, where there are two columns, so to speak, there's nothing to support the other. They just all fall down. There's nothing supporting them. So therefore, again, when it comes to Malchei Kanan or Aseres B'nei Haman, we just want everything to fall down with no support. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "V'yomer Melech Esther Malka, b'Shushan habira hargai Yehudim." So the king says to Esther Malka that in Shushan, the Jews killed X number of their enemies. Amr Rabbi Yavo, but Melamed Sheba Malach v'Satru Al Piv. The Malach came along literally. V'Satru Al Piv literally means like patched him on the mouth. Well, so what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Melamed Sheba Malach Shari Hiskel Adaber Belashon Kas. The sofa Amr Mashi Laseich. When Haman originally said this over to Esther, he said it out of anger. He said it out of anger. Look what the Jews are doing. Then he got a little patch from the Malach, and he quickly realized that again, right, look how wonderful. So what else could I do for you? So remember again here, the Megillah is quoting, when she came before the king, Amar im ha-sefer, Yashuv machshavto ha-ra'a, sher-chashav al ha-yudim ha-roshtolo osal ben avayis. Remember again, Esther comes to Achashverosh again with the letters, the original decrees that he sent out. And again, she wants him to reverse the decrees. So Amar mi boyle. Why does it say Amar in masculine? It says Esther Malka talking to the king. She says Amar in feminine. Amar biyochna Amar lo. She said to him, Amar lo yomar bepe mashekasuv besefer. Say with your mouth that which is written. That which is written in the book. Look at Rashi. Amar Nachman yomar bepe mashenichta besefer. For lo gasina Amar lo vachi pirusha. Say the mikros. Kachu vikibel haYehudim eis asher esilu echilu lasos. Ki hamer benam dasa agagogi ubevalif neamelch Amar ima sefer uMordechai kasev aleim shiyasu purim kemekish. So what Esther is really coming to Mordechai with is what? Excuse me. Tachashirish with is that which Mordechai wrote to the people, namely that these days should be a yom tov. So the Gemara says, and again, that ultimately Haman and his sons were hanged on the tree. So divrei shalom ve'emes, that it was written again, words of peace and truth. Amar Rabbi Tanchum ve'amar Rabbi Asi melamed shetzricha sirtut ke'amita shel Torah. Interesting enough that again the Megillah are words of shalom, of peace and truth. But what does it mean? They're words of truth, that they should be written in the way that the book of truth is written. What is the book of truth? The book of truth is the Torah, just as the Torah is written with sirtut. Sirtut means that there are lines etched into the parchment, which again by Sefer Torah is halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So too again the Megillah should be written with sirtut as well. Umaamar Esther kiyem. So the Gemara and the Megillah says that the word of Esther they upheld. Maamar Esther in divrei atzomos lo. So what's interesting over here is, remember, the Maamar Esther is that the days of Yom Tov, the days of Purim should be a Yom Tov. What about the fast days that preceded it? Amar Rabbi Yochanan divrei atzomos umaamar Esther kiyem. It means that they upheld both the idea of the fasting before Purim, what we call Tainus Esther, as well as establishing Purim as a Yom Tov. Because Mordechai the Jew was the second in command to the king, he was great for the Jews, and he was beloved by the majority of his brethren. Interestingly enough, he was beloved by the majority of his brethren, but not by all of his brethren. Melamed shepirshu mimeno mitzas Sanhedrin. It teaches us that some of his fellow members of the Sanhedrin separated themselves from him. Now, we'll see, Rashi points out over here, why is that? Because he left Jewish communal service, right? And what happens? And he went to work for the king. I will say this is a complex piece by itself, exactly what's unfolding over here, but there's no question that after the Megillah, Mordechai experiences a significant role change, that he goes pretty much from the leader of the Jewish people to being a leader within the king's court. Clearly still advocating for Jewish interests, but not solely working on behalf of the Jewish people. This led to some level of tension within the Jewish people, and therefore many of his former colleagues separated themselves from him. Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, we see from here, Gadol Talmud Torah Yotzei Me'atzalos Nefashos. Learning Torah is even greater than saving lives. Now, both sides, the Maharsha comments that clearly can't be true, because the Maharsha said nothing is more important than saving a life. What the Gemara is trying to highlight over here is that the tension they had with Mordechai was the fact that Mordechai did what he did because he felt that he could save, potentially advocate for Jewish needs better if he was on the inside. And his colleagues disagreed with him, and they felt that he could do more for the Jewish people, work for the Jewish people within the Jewish people. But Rav Yosef says, you see from here, that Talmud Torah is greater than even the saving lives. The Meikara, Chash Mordechai Basar Dalet, because again, originally Mordechai was reckoned as the fifth greatest sage. Ula Basov Basar Chamisha, meaning he was reckoned after four other people. But at the end of the Megillah, he's reckoned sixth greatest sage. So you see, he suffered a step down in his standing within the Jewish people. Meikara Ksiv, in the beginning it says, before the Megillah, Asher Bo Im Zerubbabel. These are the people who came with Zerubbabel. Yeshua Nehemiah Sarai Ra'alya Mordechai Bilshon. See, he comes again, he's fifth in that list. Ula Basof, and then at the end it says, Heviu Im Zerubbabel, Yeshua Nehemiah Azarya Ramaya Nehemiah Nachmani, and then Mordechai Bilshon. Here he's mentioned sixth. So we'll say again, this idea over here, and this is really a fascinating and fundamental dispute in terms of. And this goes on to this very day. We have this idea. The best way to serve the needs of the Jewish community, is it within or is it without? Is it ultimately working for the Jewish people within the Jewish people, or is it to embed oneself, again, perhaps within the government, perhaps within other places, in order to be able to advocate for Jewish needs, again, within the halls of the kingdom, so to speak? And again, now, we'll say, so what's the right answer? What's the right answer? We don't know. We don't know. The answer is, this is part of living in Gullus. Part of living in Gullus is we have to try to advocate for our needs in many different ways. And what's the best way? We don't know. So the truth is, our answer usually is we need both. But again, at least for Mordechai, again, he decided on his own that it was best for him to advocate from within the halls of the kingdom. His colleagues vehemently disagreed with him, and they felt that he should have served the needs of the Jewish people within the Jewish people, embed himself within the Jewish community. Mordechai disagreed. Who was right? Who was wrong? That we'll never know. So the Gemara is off by saying, we'll stop over here, just Vitimo. So I'm sorry. Amrav Vitimo Rav Shmuel Bar Marto, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosri Minyan Beis HaMikdash. Amazingly enough, Talmud Torah, learning of Torah, is even greater than the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Shekozman Shebarach Be'ner Yakayim, Loheniach Ezra V'Alba. So this is amazing. Even when Ezra was encouraging people to go back to Eretz Yisrael to rebuild the temple, Ezra himself did not actually leave Bavel all the days that his Rebbe Baruch ben Neria was alive. As long as Baruch ben Neria was alive, Ezra would not leave Bavel. You see from here what? That learning Torah, especially from one's Rebbe, is even a greater obligation, a greater opportunity than the building of the temple itself. All right, Tavosei, we'll stop over here for today. Emir Tashem, we're going to pick up tomorrow. Okay, 5:45 regardless. Okay, 5:45 tomorrow.